Okay, this morning, we're going to look predominantly at the city. Not a whole lot about the country, because we know how wonderful it is. So we'll just put that in parentheses for now. Science tells us that, you know, there's benefits to living in the country. I'm going to list five. There's more. Five would suffice. They say there's cleaner air. You've got better protection against chronic conditions like asthma and heart disease. More trees and plants contribute to better air quality. Now, you know, I'm getting this from science. I'm not that good with words like they are. You have less crime. Number two, you have less crime. Residents are less likely, they don't say there's no crime in the country, residents are less likely to experience assault, robbery, and theft. Statistically, the country is your best bet to feel more comfortable. Number three, better psychological health. City living can overstimulate two key regions of the brain that regulate emotion and anxiety. Country living provides a lower risk of anxiety and mood disorders. Number four, it's cheaper. From housing costs to groceries and health care, it could be as much as 12.7% less to live in the country. Now, number five, the one I like the most, exposure to nature. Immersing yourself in a natural environment is good for everything from improving your short-term memory to lowering your blood pressure. Now, I got to tell you, there's nothing like living in the country. I have another property out in the country. I've experienced watching white-tailed deer, the privilege of killing them, and also the privilege of watching wild turkey. There's just something about watching nature and being out in nature. There's just something about it. And it's not the blood that I like, believe me. It's not the killing part I like. I don't like that part. But anyways, there's something about being in the country. But I got to tell you something. If you think I'm here this morning to bash the city, you're probably going to be pretty disappointed. Now, I believe there is some truth and merit to what we just read. But you know what I'm really interested in? You know what really grabs my attention? Is some complete and eternal truth. That's what I'm interested in. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the very first city on the planet. And, of course, that was built by... Mom? Cain. Oh my goodness. Even I knew that. Okay, go back to Romans. Go back to Genesis chapter 4. And let's learn a little bit about this fella Cain. He was the firstborn human, wasn't he? Adam wasn't. Adam was created. This guy was born via Adam and Eve, of course. And in chapter 4, we read, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. That means, of course, Adam had a relationship there. And she keeved, and she keeved, and she conceived and bare Cain. I just need to, as Galen would say, take a breath and settle down a little bit. That's the way Galen does it. Galen and I have a lot in common, believe me. We both get excited. We both love football. Anyways, and we both love the scriptures. And bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare again, bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Oh, sorry to hear that. But anyways, verse 3. And it came to pass, and it came in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. One of the first things we learn about Cain was He was a hard-working religious man. Anytime you work the ground, it's a hard work. And Cain took that hard work that he did in the ground, tilling the ground, and took that fruit and presented it to God. And Noah also talks about how hard it is to work the ground, and it is. I was up at Daniel's this week putting in a food plot. I couldn't get the motorized tools in there, so I had to work it all by hand. And it, man, that Thursday night, I was sore. It is hard work working the ground. And we know, of course, according to chapter 3, verse 17, God cursed the ground. So you even have to do more with the ground in order to get some good vegetables and fruit out of it. But anyways, so we know that he was a hard-working religious man. What else was he? Look at verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. They also had another boy named Abel. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? There's some other things we know about Cain. Cain also was a rebellious, disobedient, murderous liar. And he was probably the world's first smart aleck. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Do I have to watch after him? He was a smart aleck, too. Boy, not so impressive. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Let's notice something interesting here of this fella Cain. 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to predominantly talk about the city, although we'll mention the country, of course. Oh, of course. 1 John chapter 3. Why can't I get there? I don't know. 1 John chapter 3. Notice verse 12. John writes, not as Cain, who what? Was of that wicked one. Wow. He was of the devil? Well, why would that be? And slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. Cain was an evil man. He took his own works and brought him before the Lord, and the Lord rejected him because they were his own works. And his brothers were righteous because Abel walked by faith. He walked by faith. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. I'm sorry. I should have told you to keep your finger there, but I'm not good enough to tell you that. Genesis chapter 4. Let's look at this city briefly. Genesis chapter 4, notice verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, which is interesting. I wonder where this woman came from. But anyway, it's another story. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. Now, don't confuse this Enoch with the Enoch that God took later on. This is Cain's boy. This is Cain's seed. And bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. The very first city that was ever built on the planet was the city of Enoch. Now, and so now you have a bunch of little Cainites running around. You have Cain's seed, but there's going to be another seed come up, isn't there? Notice verse 25. We're going to have a new seed. Verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. Now we have another boy born to Adam and Eve. His name's Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another, what? Seed. We're going to continue to read about seeds. Seeds, seeds, until the seeds stop. No more reading about seeds. But anyway, we got another seed. Pointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Ooh, that's good. And when you get into chapter 5, there's about 9 generations of Seth's seed. But you know what happens to that seed? They become Cain-like. Notice chapter 6. Notice chapter 6 of Genesis. And no matter how you want to look at Genesis chapter 6, whether you want to say it was the angels having a marriage with the daughters of men, or you want to say it was righteous daughters getting involved with unrighteous men, no matter how you want to portray the beginning of Genesis chapter 6, something is really bad. Something has gone amok. Because in verse 5 we read, and God saw that the what? Wickedness of man. It only took 9 generations of Seth till you get to Genesis chapter 6 that the wickedness of man was what? Great in the earth. It was bad. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil. Evil? Oh, I thought Cain was evil. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he was evil. Was only evil what? Continually. Listen, I don't know about you, but you know what really gets on my nerves? You know what really is one of my pet peeves? Is a faucet that drips. I hate, because I like to conserve water, and I don't like wasting water. It's just a weird thing. I hate that drip, drip, drip. Well, back here in Genesis chapter 6, the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Drip, drip, drip. That's what that word continually means. It just keeps running. It keeps running. And it repented, verse 6, and repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him as at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man. And we know he did. He did with the flood, did he not? Now we're down. You got the flood. There was only what? Eight people that made it through the flood, right? Noah and his wife, his 3 sons, and their sons' wives. There's only 8 people that made it. And so now we're down to Noah and his boys. And Genesis chapter 10 lays out for us all the generations of Noah. And then in chapter 11, oh my goodness, land sakes, what in the world's happening? Notice chapter 11, verse 1. And the, what? Whole earth. The whole earth. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. That's fascinating to me. We'll talk about that in a minute. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they said, and they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city. Let's build this humongous city. That it, and a what? Not only, but let's build this tower that what? That whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us what? Make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people was one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do, and now nothing shall be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. We're back to this wild imagination that man has. Verse 8, 7. Go to, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, let us go down. there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Now, there's one thing I do know back in chapter, we won't look at it too deeply, but back in chapter 10, it was established by the Gentiles, and that's all there was at the time, was Gentiles. We didn't have the Jews yet. The Gentiles had what? They had lands, they had their own tongue, they had their own families, and they had their own nations. And that seemed to be going really well. But the problem is, man decided to build this monument to himself. Let us make a name. And the point was to construct a one world government. And what did God do? God dismantled that creature worship called globalism. Globalism is bad. It's not something you want. It will take you places you do not want to go. And God scatters them. He wanted them in their lands, in their tongues, in their families, and in their nations. God is not against nations. But anyways, he's not real crazy about globalism. And I got to tell you, I'm not either. Now, man o' days, what's going on now? Well, we know in chapter 12, now we have another seed that's going to come on the way. And of course, that's going to be Abram or Abraham. And out of his seed, God is going to make a great nation. God is going to make a great nation. And he's going to use that little nation to what? To bless all the other nations. All the other nations. Now, biblical history tells us how that went down. Not so good, did it? But we got to notice something before we get into the nation of Israel. We got to check something out here in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And there's two things about Sodom and Gomorrah that I think we forget about. And I hope I can remember to point them out. There's two things I think we always forget about. And I'm not going to let you or me forget about it. We know that obviously Sodom and Gomorrah was full of homosexuality. But the thing we forget about is it was more than that. And also the thing we forget about is we think of Sodom and Gomorrah as being leveled. But it was more than that. It was more than that, wasn't it? It was all the cities in the plain. Because Sodom and Gomorrah had obviously spread their influence in the entire plain of Jordan. You can read about that earlier in Genesis, in the book of Genesis. But there were, well, we're going to look at it right here. Notice verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah. And of course, we all know that Abraham pleaded to the Lord, Lord, if I could find 50 righteous people, you're not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked, are you? And the Lord said, okay, find me 50. And then Abraham come said, well, Lord, how about if I find 45? And how about if I find 25? And how about if I find 20? How about if I find 10 righteous people? You're not going to destroy it, are you? Well, anyways, he was concerned about the city of Sodom and Gomorrah because his nephew Lot lived there. His nephew Lot lived there. But anyways, notice verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain. Listen, there was a lot more cities than just Sodom and Gomorrah in that plain of Jordan. There was a lot of cities and they were scorched. And all the, that's kind of sad, and all the inhabitants, wait a minute. Okay, let me read that again. Verse 25, sorry, getting ahead of myself. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and all and that which grew upon the ground. Torch. Now, we said about that seed of Abraham. We know how that went down, don't we? I hate to say this, but you know me, I got a big mouth. I'm not afraid of the truth. The truth does not scare me. Some people run from the truth. Some people hide from the truth. Some people don't want to talk about the truth. I'm not afraid. Anyways, the nation of Israel was the most corrupt nation that ever existed on planet Earth. Oh my gosh, Dell, are you sure about that? Oh, it's not even close. Like I said, history tells us how Israel fell. Let's look at Jeremiah 23. Clearly, they were the worst nation that ever existed on the planet Earth. It's not even close. Look at Jeremiah 23. Let's see if I can explain this now. It'll be easy. Jeremiah will sort of explain it for us, won't he? Sure will. And let me ask you a question. As we're going to Jeremiah 23, has there ever been cities as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah in your lifetime, in my lifetime? Has there ever been cities that bad? No. All right. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Notice verse 14. Jeremiah and Isaiah just blister the daylights out of the nation of Israel. They just tan their hides. But anyhow, notice verse 14. Jeremiah writes, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. Wickedness is nothing but sin, just completely run amok. They are all of them unto me as what? Sodom and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Wow. Now you know why I can say the nation of Israel was the most corrupt nation that ever existed on planet Earth. God said, you know what? You're just like those cities I destroyed. And I just charred them. You're just like them. What about Isaiah? Like I said, Jeremiah and Isaiah just blisters the daylights out of the nation of Israel. Back to Isaiah chapter 1. We could read many passages. And by the way, there is a lot of verses to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah because it was such a catastrophic event. Notice Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. And then we'll finally maybe start to get into our lesson. We haven't got into our lesson yet. But Isaiah chapter 1. What does Isaiah have to say about the nation? Oh boy. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 9. He said, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. If there wouldn't have been for that little tiny remnant that was faithful in the nation of Israel, they'd have got fire and smoke as well. Wow! Notice verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Wow. Like I said, we could go on and on and on. Israel had become just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I missed a verse, didn't I? I said it was more than just bad sexual behavior, wasn't it? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Shame on me for missing this. My right eyeball caught that verse. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Wasn't Israel more involved than just homosexual? It was involved in all kinds of stuff. So I know that Sodom and Gomorrah was more than that. And Deuteronomy here will tell us. Deuteronomy chapter 32. There's a lot written about Sodom and Gomorrah. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 32. For their vine, speaking of Israel, is of the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of what? Gall. Their clusters are what? Bitter. Verse 33. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah were nasty. They were just nasty people. Bitter, cruel, poisonous people. They were awful people. And that's what the nation of Israel had become. Now, so, I made the statement. They were the worst nation. I'm going to stay with that. And I would gladly talk to anybody about that if they were to challenge me on that. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. I hate to tell you, but and I don't want to say this, but Israel failed. Abraham's seed failed. They were not the people they were supposed to be. And Stephen lays out, Stephen just sort of blisters them just like Isaiah and Jeremiah did. Stephen says in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, he says, boy, they're not going to like this, are they? Matter of fact, they're going to hate this so much, they're going to what? They're going to kill Stephen. Nice group of people, aren't they? Verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have your fathers persecuted, and have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now, of whom ye have been now betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. How bad was Israel? God sent them the law, the perfect righteous law. They rejected it. God sent them the prophets. No other nation had the law of the prophets. Israel had it. They rejected it. Finally, he sent them my son. Surely they'll reverence my son. What did they do with Christ? They killed him. No other nation was promised so much, and yet they said, we will not have this man to rule over us. The worst nation that there ever was. There's no doubt about that. Now, I wonder if this man has anything to say. And by the way, who is that guy anyways? We'll find out here soon. Go to Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. I think Paul would help solidify my point as well. Romans chapter 2. Then we've got to find out who this guy is. My goodness. What's he giving his 2 cents here for? When it comes to the nation of Israel, when it comes to the Jews. Well, he said in Romans chapter 2, verse 17, he says, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will. No other nation on the planet understood God's will as well as the nation Israel did. You know his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed by the law, and art confident that thou thyself or the guide of the blind, and a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth and the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that saith a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. You, Israel, as it is written. And where it says it is written, you can go back to 2 Samuel and you can find out that man Nathan looked at David and he said, you know, David, because what you did with Bathsheba and what you did with Uriah, you know, David, the name of God is blasphemed through you. You're the one that upset the apple cart. It was the nation of Israel. Now, who is this guy anyways? And what for 2 cents is he throwing in here? Well, we know according to Acts chapter 26 that this guy was a chosen of God. And he was sent to all people, Jews, sent to turn them to life. And you read all about that chapter. He writes and writes up and Adam was all from Adam, all died. But he also says, don't be alive. That is, your faith, death, and love of Jesus Christ is where your life comes from. Paul made it to you in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm a little funny to say, but anyway. First, says my elder. Tell Daniel, who is Paul? I be from. Oh, I be from all, sir. All the world. If I can do with good one. That's what gain the more. The Jew, my Jew, to them under the law, to them but without the law, to Christ, the gain. As weak that I am made things to all men. I might all means save, I do say, I might partake of thereof. Pick, that's our ministry. Look where there's less. Born in Charlotte. Born in Paul, where's he? That's interesting. Over 50 cities? Yeah. You've heard of Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, Colossae, Philippi, Thessalonica. Those were cities. They weren't out in the boondocks, were they? They were cities. What about Syracuse? I don't mean New York. What about Syracuse? What about Fair Havens? What about Coos? C-O-O-S. Rhodes, Lissa, Claudia, Nicopolis, Solomon, three taverns. Did you ever hear of them? Paul went to the cities because that's where man predominantly was at. And I gotta tell you something else. Did Paul do this ministry all by himself? You tell me. No. We know Paul had plenty of fellow laborers and helpers from Luke to Tychicus. And notice one of these very few men that he called his own son. Go to Titus chapter 1. Timothy and Titus were Paul's boys in the faith. And he doesn't say to Titus, you know, Titus, you're going to find the country air so much better to breathe out in the country. So that's where I want you to go to establish some elders, does he? Notice, Titus chapter 1, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete. Crete is a city. That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain what? Elders in every what? Oh, my goodness. Paul, you're focusing on the city. What's wrong with you? Don't you know? Don't you know there's problems out there, Paul? We're going to get to that here real short. Ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. There's a ministry. There's people there. And that's where Paul went. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Do you really want to follow Paul? Well, I know where he went. I'll be goodness. Now, I got a real hard question. I got a real tough one. You know me, I always ask the hard questions. Did Paul live a dangerous life? You tell me. We'll just read a little bit about it. Go back to 2 Corinthians. And then I want you to see if you can catch a certain phrase in a verse I'm going to read. And then I'm going to ask you, and then you tell me. This will sort of tie the rag on the bush, so to speak. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You read about all the calamities and the dangers that Paul went through. Paul lived a very dangerous life. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Of the what? No, wait. That's God's favorite nation. Dale, what are you talking? of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I've been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. And perils among false brethren, and weariness, and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger, and thirst, and fasting often, in cold and in nakedness. Anybody catch a certain phrase I read? Anybody catch that phrase that sort of ties the rag on the bush, as Richard Jordan would say? He loves to say that. I'm not even sure what that means, but anyways, he said it. Paul said, and that, by the way, that word perils means dangers, tough times. Paul said, I had tough times where? In the city and in the wilderness. You know what that tells me? I'm just a country boy. I'm not very smart. It tells me that you got problems here. You got problems here. There was a young lady 2 or 3 miles from our house, and we, Cheryl and I, live out in the country. We love it. She was murdered. She was murdered about 2 miles from our house, and they murdered her dog, too. My brother-in-law lives out in the boondocks. He was robbed. He was robbed. He went in the house, and there the robber was. The robber was able to escape. Listen, when it comes to ministry, I'm talking about ministry. Is that important? Thank you. When it comes to ministry, this is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant because Paul said, I'm interested in this. I'm interested in all men. Now, by the way, yeah, boy, that Paul. Notice, we're just about ready to close here. Isn't that good? Notice what Paul said about himself. Boy, this poor guy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're almost done. Whew. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is unreal. Did I get the right verse? Oh, okay. I think I did. Okay. Oh, there it is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That seed, the ultimate seed, stopped with Christ. He was the ultimate seed. Now, after Paul, you don't keep reading about seed. Well, the seed's going to come along. Nope. The ultimate seed had came. You accept him, you reject him. Notice verse 9. Paul says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Amazing. Paul said, you know what? This gospel has got me into a lot of trouble. But you know what? The word of God goes on. Now, and you and I have the answer. You and I today have the answer for this. This doesn't intimidate me, by the way. By the way, I've spent some time in Pittsburgh. I don't even hardly consider Pittsburgh a city anymore. It's not that big. I'm not intimidated. Now, I was in New York. I didn't like that. I didn't like that. And by the way, I forgot to get my little funny part in, didn't I? I did. You ever hear of a guy by the name of Franco Harris? His Immaculate Reception. Did that happen out in Beans Cove or Sloan's Hollow or Frosty Hollow? Happened in the city, didn't it? Was Franco from the country? Oh, Franco was from the country, right? Franco was from New Jersey, Trenton. I don't think Joey, there's not a whole lot of country in New Jersey, is there?
No, no.
And we're going to get even more funnier here. It's not funny, but it's kind of cool. Does anybody remember, I'll give you two things about old Franco. Does anybody remember who Franco said contributed to that Immaculate Reception? That helped contribute to the Immaculate Reception. It was Joe Paterno. He said, Joe always said, you want to run towards the ball. You want to run towards the ball. The only thing is, Franco was supposed to block, and Terry's back there running for his life. But anyhow, Joe told him to run towards the ball, and that's what he did. He ran towards the ball, and that ball never touched the ground. Joe from the country, right? Joe Paterno, he's from the country, right? How about Brooklyn? Does that sound good? Joe wasn't from the country. He's from Brooklyn. Brooklyn. Now, interesting. All right. Now, you know, God's not against cities. Did you know that? He's not against cities. It all depends on who's running the city. If you've got bad men running the city, you're going to have bad cities. That's not rocket science, is it? Matter of fact, God's going to build a city someday, isn't he? I'm sure he already has it built, knowing him. And you can find that back in, can't you find that back in Revelation? Sure can. Revelation chapter 21, we know there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. And I call this city the 24-carat city. Because, listen, if you have 24-carat, you know what you have? You have pure gold. 24-carat. Not too many people wear... Oh, I didn't wear my ring this morning. Not too many people have 24-carat. All right. Notice verse 2 of Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the what? The holy city. The Gospels and in Paul's writings, Jerusalem is mentioned many, 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 many times. In the Old Testament, it's just wild with mentioning Jerusalem. It is never called the Holy City. Never. It's never called the Holy City. Check me out. And I saw the Holy City, because this city is the one that God built. I saw the New Jerusalem. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned with her husband. Notice verse 10. And he carried me away into the Spirit unto a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the what? Holy Jerusalem. Now this is called Holy Jerusalem. It was never holy before because it was run by wicked men. Descending out of heaven and from God. Notice, where are we going to do it? Let's just jump down to verse 16. And the city lieth four square, the length as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. That is a big city. And 12,000 furlongs is what? About 1,500 miles, isn't it? Am I right? Okay. That would be we're going to use Philadelphia as a reference. No other reason why. I know it's a city. That's okay. I'm not intimidated. And we could go down to Joey, how far is it from our place down to Heather's? Is it about 12 or 1,300 miles? You don't know. Okay. We know it's a long ways driving, even driving 70, 80 miles an hour like you drive, huh? How about Orlando, Florida? You could go from Philadelphia to Orlando, Florida. And then over here, you could go to Denver, Colorado. And then it's 15 miles out, 1,500 miles out this way. That is a huge
city.
And it's not just a huge city, is it? Jump down to verse 18. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was what? Pure gold. What? God's against city? Now. Now, you need good people to run them. You need lots of stuff to have a good city. But anyways, God's gonna bring his city down, and it's going to be amazing. Now, there's a little bit of debate on where will we have access to that city. I kind of think we will. What's your purpose for being in the New Jerusalem? You're a part of the body of Christ. Well, I'm not going to get into that. I think we will have access to the New Jerusalem, but I don't. That's another lesson for here. And I just want to say, we looked. We know there. This is a real easy statement. We know there's wicked, evil men here. We know there's evil, wicked men here. It's 11 bars. Are we good? Others, I can't. We got why? He understood well. Verbs. Like I said, about it. Out here. But we got people. Here's the word by and heard. And. Word throughout the present world. Father, we know it's evil. We have the answer to evil. We don't have to be intimidated by evil. We don't have to be pushed around by evil men. Father, we have your precious truth. And it's your truth. It's your truth that will take men out of darkness and put them into light. It'll take them out of Adam and place them into Christ. And Father, we thank you for your precious word. May we be doers of your word and not hearers only. Thank you, Lord. Amen.